Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of the Robert on Radio program starts right now. Welcome back. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one, Lonzo, just a pair of qualified NFL scouts with you here this AM. Be a part of this lovely little program that we've got working by jumping on the phone line, the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone. At 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. You can also shoot us a text on the text line at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. Got a couple of texts that have come in so far this AM. Joey texted the show, said, Rob, I'm 2% of Panthers fans saying the Teppers are the problem. Got another text that said, fan, I'm not even a Panther fan, but because I listened to the show, I totally agree with Rob after listening for 2 years and with Rashad's appearances. And another texter that's from Big Mick that said, Rob, is it text or texted for past tense? As in, I text or I texted. It's texted.
Wow. The people are correcting the way you speak. I heard that happen on the national program a little bit earlier when I was setting things up, and it's like, yeah, you know
that other thing.
I don't come into your job and go, hey man, that's the wrong wrench. Okay, that wrench you're using, right? You could do better if you use this wrench.
I mean, if they're using the wrong wrench, you would, right?
Maybe they're comfortable with the wrench they're using.
I mean, the correct wrench isn't determined by your comfort. It's either it's the right size wrench or it's not.
Does it get the job done? I mean, that's what it comes down to. So you go on texting.
You do texting.
That. You do that. Don't you listen to this guy.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I think it would be... So in this case, text, as in the text, is a noun. So like I sent a text, or in this case, it would be almost like a noun-verb combo. I text Lonzo. Well, that would be present tense. I text Lonzo, in which case text is a verb. If you sent a text, it would be I sent a text, in which case text is the noun. But if you're describing the action you did, it would be I text Lonzo, as in I text Lonzo. I either have texted or will text again, but I take the action of texting. But if you are describing text as a verb, that I would assume that the past tense would be texted, as in yesterday I texted Lonzo. It doesn't necessarily sound right, though, does it?
The past tense of text is texted, okay, or text.
Oh, it can be
third wrong. Person singular simple present indicative form of text is texts. The present participle of text is texting. The past participle.
Yep, that's the one.
It's a participle. So the past participle of text is texted or text.
Okay. So there you go, Big Mick. You got your answer. It is.
Everybody's right.
It is somehow both and neither at the same time. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. All right. It is 7:03 in the morning. You have, 56 minutes and 5 seconds. Before you got to get to the office.
No, they don't. Ain't nobody working today but us.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, look outside. There's nobody in the parking lot. There's nobody on the road. Nobody on the beach.
Marcus said,
I feel it in the air.
Marcus Summer's said, I love reach. These bunny trails y'all go down. Yeah, welcome to the show, especially on Friday. Friday, like, it just is what it is.
You interrupted my quoting of a wonderful song.
Sorry.
The Boys of Summer.
The Ataris.
No.
I mean, yes, it was a cover. It was Don Henley, obviously.
Okay,
but I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
I when it comes to covers versus originals, there's a short list. I like the cover better. The Atari's cover of Boys of Summer is better than Don Henley's Boys of Summer.
Mm.
For sure.
Mm.
For sure. It's got the music fits the vibe.
The theme
better.
Of today is division and disdain and other D words.
Disdain. Joey said, I wish that were true. Lonzo, I'm headed to the office now. Sorry, Joey. At least we'll be here with you till 10 because we're good friends like that. Now you have 54 minutes and 50 seconds to get to the office and get clocked in, and you're going to talk sports. You need to know what's going on in the world of sports. That's why we're here, and that's why we do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers or friends or workplace proximity associates, whatever they might be. When you get there, when you start talking sports, these are just some, but maybe the most important things that you'll be discussing today. Let us begin with item numero uno. The Atlanta Braves had an opportunity to take on the San Francisco Giants in a three-game set. A three-game set I told you was going to be massively importante. It was going to be importante because these are two teams trying to get to where they want to be. Both of these two teams are right now in contention in their respective divisions. The Bravos in the NL East, the Giants in the NL West. This series was at Truist. It was in the ATL. And it very much felt like the winner of this series was going to make a bit of a statement that we're here. We're ready. We're finding our way. We feel like we're in a pretty good spot. The Braves completely unsurprisingly did drop this series after a 4-2 loss yesterday. Chris Sale, in the second game of this series, got his 11th win on the season. That puts him first in the major leagues amongst pitchers for wins earned thus far. The Braves went with Uncle Charlie Morton last night, and Morton did not have a bad game. Went 5.1, gave up 5 hits. Problem, he gave up 4 runs, 3 of them earned, including a pair of dingers in the 4th inning to both Chapman and Ramos that gave the San Francisco Giants a lead that they would not return to the Atlanta Braves at any point. By the way, I did think of the great one Lonzo yesterday because on You Better You Bet, the show that I am on all this week from 3 to 7 in the afternoon on the BetQL Network, I was working with a young man by the name of PJ Glasser, who I adore, by the way. PJ's good people and a brilliant betting analyst. PJ calls them, Lonzo, dongs. My favorite part is that when somebody goes big yad, PJ will go, there's Eliot Ramos with a big dong to left. And so I want you to know that I will try my best but make no promises to not refer to them as big dongs from now on. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying, I can't promise it's not going to happen. So Charlie Morton allowed 2 big dongs yesterday. 1 to Chapman, 1 to Ramos in the 4th. That was the difference in the contest. So the Braves dropped this series 2-1.
I just a suggestion that you not do that.
Why?
Because
it's popular baseball terminology.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because he's the only one who says that that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And that you're aware of, really. So you just want to be number two guy to say that? Okay.
I mean, I'm number two guy a lot of the time.
Yeah.
If we're keeping it a buck,
I'm the only with an and in this room, and I just want to say that it makes me uncomfortable, which is the reason why you're doing it. I just don't want it to make the show in trouble.
That we're clear. I'm doing it because I find it hilarious. There was a...
And it makes me uncomfortable, which you find hilarious.
No. Not everything's about you. Not everything's about
it
you.
It is, absolutely.
It's
my
not.
Story.
Sometimes I do things because I like it. Like talking about, never mind, I can't say it. I will say it later, but I can't right now.
Yeah, because if you said it in that context,
yeah, exactly,
it would not have worked.
Exactly. No, it would have worked, and it would have worked even better.
If you said it in that context, I would have dumped it.
So, I know. That's why I knew what was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. That's why I didn't do it. As much as I wanted to.
Should I apologize for hour one? So you don't do this like the rest of the show? I mean, you know, I'm not going.
Again,
I'm not going to, but I'm asking if you think I should.
I'm not doing this because it impacts Lonzo. I'm doing it because it is hilarious. That's why. Because it got a physical, visible reaction from me on the air.
Yeah, just like that. You know they have new shows, by the way. I haven't watched them because I didn't watch the original either, but I do know.
Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, they have
new
shows.
I've been watching. I love
them.
Okay,
all right.
They went to space in an episode the other day, and it was glorious when they learned about the existence of black holes. It's very funny. Very funny. I'm so glad they're back. Braves lose the series 2-1. Let's go to item number 2 on the water cooler cheat sheet. We got the Copa America going on. Our first semifinal team is set after Leo Messi. Man, the Argentinians taking on Ecuador in the quarterfinals. It was a 1-1 contest after regulation. We went to PKs. Copa America, very interesting in that.
Is that place kicker?
Penalty kicks.
Okay. All right.
Which technically somebody kicking a penalty kick is a place kicker by definition.
It is. But I mean, there are some people out there who don't know what that is. I'm just trying to help those people out.
Those people are just going, what do you think about soccer? Because I want to. And because soccer is awesome. And because the world is watching these tournaments. That's why. The world.
All right. Part of
as
the
a whole.
Part of, it's just not this part of the world.
The world. So, Argentina up against Ecuador last night, a very evenly split game. Each team holding on between 49 and 51% of the possession throughout the contest. Both teams had 2 shots on goal. Ecuador, 9 shot attempts. Argentina, 8. 14 fouls against Ecuador. 13 against Argentina. 2 yellow cards each. No red cards each. It was a very level matched contest last night. Which was very enjoyable to watch. It went to penalty kicks in Copa America. In the quarterfinals and semifinals, they do not do extra time. For those of you that don't know soccer, after 90 minutes of regulation in most tournaments, if there is a tie after 90 minutes of regulation, they will add 2 15-minute stoppage or extra time periods on. If we have a winner, it is not sudden death. If we have a winner after those 30 minutes are played, great. If we do not, then we go to penalty kicks after that. The winner in the PK period is the winner of the contest. So we went to PKs last night. Leo Messi stepped up first for the Argentines, and he botched it. He missed the penalty kick. However, the keeper, Emi Martinez, did make 2 consecutive PK stops. Argentina would then go on to convert 4 consecutive penalty kicks after that, and they would take home the PK win over Ecuador. They will get the winner of a matchup this evening between Venezuela and Canada when the semifinals begin on Sunday. We do have a couple more matchups tomorrow that we will talk about later on in the radio program. But the Argentines, the first team through. Let's go to item number 3. I don't know what's happening to America, but I do know we can, we should, we will do better. Breaking news out of NASCAR yesterday. After nearly 30 years in the game, it was announced that Hendrick Motorsports and one of their primary and longtime sponsors will be splitting ways. Hendrick Motorsports announced yesterday that they will be terminating their partnership with Hooters. This partnership goes back to the early 1990s when that world famous owl adorned the hood of the car of former series champion Alan Kulwicki. They have been on a number of Hendrick driver vehicles since then, up to including most recently the hood of the car driven by Chase Elliott. Apparently, Hooters unable to pay their sponsorship obligations to Hendrick Motorsports, and because of that, Hendrick had to terminate that contract. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, if Hooters can't thrive in the world of NASCAR, I don't know what chance any of us have. This tragic news. Tragic news. The Orange Owl has been spinning circles for nearly the length of time that I have been alive.
All right, so in the story that you wrote, you made sure you put Hooters in there like 25 times, and I read every one,
okay,
and you missed it.
25.
It's in there 25. I count it.
It's a little dramatic. I'm going with the under on that particular bet. I did mention it a number of times, though. It's a big story.
More times than you normally would put something in there.
You
trolled me from the very beginning, but
no,
I did it. I did it, and you missed it.
There is somewhere else that I specifically added a word that I'm curious if you're real.
Of course I took that out. So, I mean, come on.
So you trolled me.
No.
Because I wrote a wonderful sports flash.
No, I'm not saying
and
that.
And you were like, no, not good enough.
I'm not saying that word in protest over Joey Chestnut.
Oh, man. Let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we got a lot more. We'll get away from the Carolina Panthers for just a few minutes. We got some college football. I want to get into some MLB and some NBA. A cautionary tale being told in the NBA right now and being told in the NBA courtesy of the Los Angeles Lakers. Yes, it is more Lakers talk. No, it is not about the Lakers. It's about everybody else. Where the Lakers are painting a pointed warning sign. We'll talk some about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you. It is going to be a bit of a cautionary tale what is going on with the LA Lakers right now. If you've been paying attention, obviously you kind of have a little bit of knowledge of what the backstory here is. LeBron James wanted to play with his kid, Bronny. A lot of people, myself included, qualified to be NBA scouts, said, not the right pick. Not the right pick. Bronny's got potential, but he hasn't realized it yet. My man scored a whopping 4 points per game during his time at USC with the Trojans. He was playing like 15 minutes a game tops. It's not the best move to bring him in LA. In fact, the only reason you would bring Bronny in is to make Daddy James a happy camper.
See, they were saving him for the NBA. I also am a qualified scout. So what they did is they decided, hey, he's going to the NBA. He doesn't want to overwork himself. Plus, he was coming back from a major thing.
He was.
Like almost died. Yeah, you just don't jump back into the rotation and put in 30 a night after that.
And I would also point out that that happened right before the offseason. He did not have an offseason, Bronny James. He did not have the opportunity to get right. He checked back in with the Trojans halfway through the season. He was medically cleared, and then he still showed up and played. Again, still too high at 55, unless you look at it through the lens of this team knows when LeBron is gone, they are entering hard reboot mode. They're toast when he is gone. It will be breaking this thing down to the ground and starting the process all over again. I have also heard the cries of nepotism. And we talked about this, Lonzo and I, earlier this week. I have made the point that, I'll tell you straight up, I'd do the same thing. If I had the opportunity to get my kid on the team that I'm on, and spend time doing a thing that I love with him, especially when it's something as dope as playing in the NBA, I'd make the same move. And I'd be willing to bet there's a lot of dads around the upstate that would make the same move in order to make that happen. And I don't blame you for it. The whole concept of, oh, this is nepotism. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I don't have an issue with it. There's nepotism all over sports. What I will say,
up, FAS is something that you've been struggling with lately. So
yeah. FAS?
Yes, foreign accent syndrome.
Oh, gotcha.
Because you said reboot.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, you said reboot, which is definitely Canadian. And so I think you're turning into a Canadian.
I did watch a lot of hockey during the Stanley Cup.
There you go. That
like
might be
a lot of hockey. Maybe it's.
Wait a minute.
It's rubbing off
on
me.
Did a team from Canada win?
No. Hockey's all about Florida right now. The Sunshine State is now the hockey state, America. So anyway, the cautionary tale and my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion that we need to discuss here is what happens when a power player gets too much power. Because that's kind of the belief in what is happening with LeBron right now. Not only is his son a member of the Lakers because he wanted him there, but the belief is, though no one in the organization is willing to admit it, J.J. Redick is there as a head coach because that's who LeBron James wanted. He wanted his podcasting buddy, which again, if you're LeBron James and they're going to give you that power, take that power, okay?
Isn't it normal to try to test where you work to find out what you can do?
I don't even know if it's a test. I think they straight up told him, right? Jeannie Buss said, we want LeBron here no matter what it takes. We want LeBron here regardless of what we have to do to prove it to him. We want that guy in the building. And if they tell you that, if you're ever negotiating for a job and the employer in question goes, yeah, we are, whatever, you know, we're going to put you at the top of the salary range because we want you here no matter what it takes, then take the top of the salary range. It seems pretty obvious to me. But here is what is interesting. Remember when they hired J.J. Redick, one of the things that Rob Pelinka, the GM, and Jeannie Buss said was, we're going to put a staff of top men around J.J. Redick. We're going to get a mix of NBA veterans. We're going to get a bunch of respected league coaches. We're going to get a bunch of dudes that know how to do it to work around J.J. while he learns how to do it. And this is interesting. Well, the Lakers have started assembling their supposed to be all-star coaching staff. One candidate the team had interest in, had interest in was Dwayne Casey, who is currently a front office associate with the Detroit Pistons. Casey has been in coaching for a very long time, over a decade worth of experience. He was a head coach with the Pistons, Timberwolves, and Raptors. He's the opposite of Redick, as a guy who has 3 decades of experience, if you include his time as an assistant coach. He was an NBA Coach of the Year. He has been to the playoffs as a coach 6 different times. He was listed as an assistant coaching candidate with the LA Lakers, which would be a promotion both in terms of job and team because, and I've done the research, the Pistons stink and they're not going to get any better this season. So this would be a massive step up for Dwayne Casey. Huge step up. And yet, when Dwayne Casey was listed as a potential staff member for this team, Dwayne Casey basically immediately removed himself from contention. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a very good reason Dwayne would say no. His family lives in Detroit. He said, yo, I don't want to pull my family up out of here. Which, if that's the case, it's very understandable. Does anybody think that is purely the case? Like Dwayne Casey, who has been at like a bunch of different jobs over the years and has moved his family in the past, suddenly doesn't want to. Of course he doesn't. Because I will give you another spot. The other spot here would be, if you're ever in consideration for a job and you go to that job and you start talking to people and the people at that job go, hey, look, just so you know, Susan in HR is a kiss butt to the boss and she gets everything she wants. And you know that Susan is a direct superior to you. Maybe not the best idea in the world to go work in a spot where Susan has direct control over your ability to get promotions and raises and whatnot. Like, maybe not a great decision, right? That's kind of how I feel about this spot now. And here's another fun reality. While this is a basketball story, I'm going to tell you right now, this is, I think, something that the NFL is going to have to keep an eye on. Because as quarterbacks continue to make more and more and more and more and more and more and more money, there are going to start being more quarterbacks who have like LeBron James levels of influence. There are going to be more and more quarterbacks, if there aren't already, guys like Mahomes, guys like Josh Allen, guys like Lamar Jackson, who are going to have stupid amounts of power within their organizations. And if that is the case, who is to say that down the line, there won't be a spot where NFL teams start having quarterbacks dictate unto them, this is the guy I want. This is the wide receiver I want. This is the running back I want. This is the guy I want. And I am going to say that while I understand, don't like, but understand, that's on me. Thank you, website that I will never visit again. While I understand that, if LeBron James leaves this organization, as I have pointed out, it is full on, no holds barred, unquestionable, from the ground reboot time. That's not a guess. That is not speculation. That is, if I may go full Paul Heyman for just a moment, not a prediction. It's a spoiler alert. So I think the Lakers are in kind of a unique spot here because LeBron James is the star. Now, I would like to say it didn't have to be this way. It didn't. The Lakers made this way. They made it this way when they went and got Anthony Davis out of New Orleans and tried to make him the guy. Well, guess what? He's not the guy. He doesn't have him to be the guy. He ain't, as the kids say, got that dog in him. He don't got that dog in him. And if he don't got that dog in him, you can't grow that dog in him. Either you got that dog or you don't. AD ain't got that dog. They had other guys that maybe could have been the guys. Guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I don't know if that guy could have turned into a star or not. What I do know is they sent him to the Denver Nuggets, and he won a title 2 years later. And he was a massively important piece of that puzzle for the Denver Nuggets that year. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. I don't know if he could have been the guy or not, but they got rid of him. I don't know if Lakers have any other guy that can be the guy. So they put themselves in the position. But once they put themselves in the position, it wasn't really like they had an opportunity to do anything else. So I'm going to translate this over to football, and I'm going to say unto thee, dig it. This is going to be an NFL problem one day. It's going to. It's going to be a college football problem one day. Someday, some quarterback is going to catch a $2 million NIL deal, some five-star guy, and he's going to go, look, I'm going to come there, and I'm going to play quarterback, but you're going to bring my buddy, my two-star wide receiver buddy, over from Bob's High School. Bob's got a lot going on. We're going to bring you Bob's High School two-star wide receiver, and an Ohio State or an Alabama or a South Carolina is going to go, we don't really want or have room for that guy. But we got to give the heist, we got to give the five-star what he wants, right? Got to give the QB what he wants. If teams start allowing superstars, and LeBron James is not your ordinarily superstar, but if they start saying you can have whatever you want, and they don't say to guys like LeBron James, what you want, it's going to be chaos and pandemonium in the streets. We'll see how it plays out. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio program. Real good. Corey LaJoy, thanks for checking in, man. Great to hear from you, Corey. Let's get to this. Perfect. And now let's get to this, now that we got the good stuff out of the way. Thanks, Becky. Appreciate that. We are, ladies and gentlemen, not that far from football season.
I was going to say not Marshall.
We are not Marshall. We are, as of today, it's a milestone day, great one. 50 days from college 50. Football.
50. 50 days.
Tomorrow, we are 49 days. That's 7 weeks. Actually, it's not even that, because we got some weekday football during week zero. So it's actually really like 47 days tomorrow.
Unless you're an NFL guy, which I am, and then we know it's just a few more weeks away right. Before preseason.
Which is why I specifically said college football.
I know. I get it. You believe that the majority of the audience, college football fans, non-NFL guys, and I think they're both.
I don't think that. I'm like very confident of it. Most people aren't checking out NFL preseason football. It's sad, but true.
So your entire life, have you always counted down the football? Because it seems to me like this year, more so than any other year, people are just counting down the football.
I used to do
it. It's kind of weird.
I used to do a segment called the Countdown to College Football Kickoff. Yes, I have always counted down to football because it is, it should be. The opening day of both football seasons should be a national holiday. Like, I believe that.
So when you were 12-year-old looking at the golf course, thinking about college football?
When I was 7 years old.
What the heck was that? Where did
There's a song.
Is there?
It's a song, yeah. I don't know who sings it, but it's a song.
I bet they're
Jacob
Canadian.
Said, Rob's counting down because the Braves sucked this year. That's not entirely untrue, Jacob.
And they don't suck because they still have a winning record.
No, they stink.
No, they're not. I mean, they have a winning record.
They stink. They stink.
And they probably will go further in the postseason this year than they did last year.
I wouldn't count said chickens.
I can say this as a qualified scout for MLB. Mm-hmm.
Lonzo's watched 5 baseball games. That's what it takes, and we all know that.
All right. You know, I saw highlights. That's all I need.
It's the same thing, right?
A talent. I mean, when you have talent, that's all you need.
When you got it, you got it. Lonzo's got it.
You don't have to tell the world. They can see it.
Lonzo's got it, and if you don't believe him, just ask him. He'll let you know. He'll tell you about it.
I ooze it.
So, I was, as I do at this time of year, started looking around at different projections, prognostications from different media outlets, because there are some very smart football people out there. So I started looking around and I thought to myself, let's check out, let's go dig, let's go see who says what about whomst. 24/7 has put out their season projections. They put out, as a matter of fact, a list of every team that they think will win 10 games this year. Why? Because the belief right now, and I honestly think it's a fair one, the belief right now is that 10 wins is likely the mark to make the college football playoffs. You want in, you're going to have to get to 10. That's just how it's going to be. And I don't disagree with that. I think 10 is mandatory. I think that you may even see a 10-win team left out this year. PJ and I talked about this on You Better You Bet yesterday. So they went through and they predicted the number of teams that they think will get to 10 wins by conference. Here's the list. In the Big 12, they predict two teams to have 10 wins. The Kansas State Wildcats and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, both 10 and 2 on the dot. In the Atlantic Coast.
What conference was that?
That would be the Big 12. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. Good call. That would be the Albertsons 12. Do y'all have Albertsons up here? I know you haven't since I moved here.
I don't think so. I do. Is that a grocery store?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All the Albertsons back down where I live got replaced by Publix's. Publix? Publix's? What's the plural of Publix?
Fancy grocery store.
By the green one. They got replaced by the green one. So, the Albertsons 12, they predict two 10-win teams. In the ACC, they predict four 10-win teams. Amongst them, NC State, Miami, Florida State, and Clemson. They've got the four big ones mentioned as potential 10-win teams. I have an issue with it. I think that's spot on. I do think...
Four 10-win teams in the ACC.
I absolutely agree.
Really?
I do. And I'll tell you why.
So, and Clemson's in there. They're counting. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and NC State are the four. And I'll tell you why. Because I went and looked at the win totals. Let's take a look at some of them. Because, you know, for a team to have a bunch of losses, it means somebody else is going to have a bunch of wins. Boston College, over-under win total, 4.5. Cal, 6.5. Clemson at 9.5. Duke, 5.5. Last year, Duke got Clemson. Duke got a lot of folks last year. But, of course, Mike Elko left. Riley Leonard left. This team's going to stink this year. 5.5. Florida State, 9.5. Georgia Tech, 5.5. Louisville, 8.5. Miami, 9.5. North Carolina drops down, 7.5. NC State, 8.5. Pitt, 5.5. SMU, 7.5. Stanford, 3.5. Syracuse, 7.5. They got a new head coach. I wouldn't be shocked if it's the under. Virginia, 4.5. Virginia Tech, 8.5. Wake Forest, 4.5. There's going to be four good teams in this conference. There's going to be two good teams and two okay teams, three or four mediocre teams, and everybody else is going to be bad.
What I hear is ACC is the pad your stats conference. If you're another conference, you want to play that particular conference.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I would not argue with the claim that the ACC in the last year genuinely has lost a pretty solid chunk of what it was the couple of years before that.
They were building. They were actually
Absolutely. Looking
almost legitimate. And now you're saying they went the other way.
I am absolutely saying that they went the other way. I would not push back on that belief. I absolutely think the ACC has taken a slide backwards. I'm not going to argue with that. I don't think it's a bad conference. I do think that it had a pretty good run for two or three years there where it felt like the momentum of the conference was moving forward and now it's sliding backwards. Where do we put the blame on that? I don't know. I mean, it does have a bunch of teams that obviously are not looked at the same way that the SEC and the Big Ten schools are looked
at. Luckily, they went out and bolstered the conference by adding some powerhouses that make the conference better.
They didn't add teams because it made them better. They added teams so that there weren't enough votes to kill the conference. I said that when these teams added. This is not about adding depth to the league. It's not. The teams that they added were added for one reason and one reason alone. The teams that were added so that there were not enough votes alongside Clemson, Florida State, and Miami to kill the ACC, which is exactly what would have happened if they didn't add SMU, Stanford, and Cal. I don't know that that makes the football any worse, right? SMU, Cal, and Stanford, while everybody recruits against everybody else nationally, that is for sure. I don't think SMU, Stanford, and Cal have deep fingers in the ACC footprint that's taken recruits away from the rest of the schools within said ACC footprint. I think you are simply looking at a few different things. One of them is, and I said this yesterday on nationally syndicated radio, because of the way that college football has become a television metric-centric sport, right? I got into the discussion with PJ, and I think it kind of blew his mind at the end of the show yesterday because he asked me as we were ending, he goes, Rob, how much does the Florida State-Alabama playoffs thing still sting to you? And I said, honestly, not only does it still sting to me, it's never going to stop stinging to me, and it should sting to anybody who is not a member of the Big Ten or the SEC. If you are a fan of a school that plays in any conference that is not one of the two TV primary conferences, it should bother you too. Because what it said is, we don't particularly care about you or your results. We just care about making sure that we get an SEC school up in there. PJ was like, well, you got to admit Alabama was better than Florida State. I said, why? Do they play each other? Do I have a definitive empirical way to prove that, PJ Glasser? And he said, well, I guess not. And I said, exactly and precisely. If only there was a way that we could find out what schools were the best. And he said, well, Michigan, Alabama was really entertaining. I said, absolutely. It absolutely was. So just admit to me right now that it was never about putting teams that earned a spot and a shot to prove they're the best. Say to me right now that it's about getting the best television ratings. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that either. He said, because, you know, if I look at FSU and Alabama and I put them on the field together, I think Alabama wins that game. And I said, okay, PJ Glasser, then do me a favor. Acknowledge then that the imaginary games that you play in your head are the most important thing. Say to me right now that the thing that matters the most is your opinion, not what happens on the field. And he goes, that's a really good argument. I said, I know. That's why I made it.
Wow, so you've been doing this for 2 days.
I'm never going to stop doing
it. No, I'm just talking about that. Anyway.
Yeah, no, well, the reason I'm saying that.
You want to scrap. You want to fight. You want to go. I don't know what's going on with you.
I don't. It's a very valid point. And again, I've not had anybody yet push back with any other argument than, well, I think Alabama was better, Rob. All right, well, again, we have a way to find that out. But the point is not to bring up the playoff argument from last season.
Or the past, right.
The point is not to bring up the past.
Let it go.
No.
Let it go.
Because it plays into something that is happening in the future. And this is what I've been saying for a while. The more that we as fans accept that it's about the games in our head or the television ratings primarily, which is what my guy PJ did. PJ is a big, smart boy like me. He knows ball. All right? The more that fans jump on board and accept that, the more power continues to flow to the SEC and the Big Ten, and everybody else can screw off. That's basically the attitude here, or at least it's the vibe that I get. So, yeah, precisely. Actually, that quote's close. What it should be is, screw you guys, you're going home. Screw you guys, you're not getting a chance here, right? So, with that in mind, when I talked about this and I was discussing the whole setup regarding moving forward, as long as the Big Ten and the SEC are raking in the TV money that they do, everybody else is fighting for existence. And the minute that a team within those fighting for those existence conferences get any sort of flirtation from one of the big money makers, they're gone. That is precisely what is happening right now in Charlotte, North Carolina, in this Clemson v. ACC suit. Clemson, justifiably, believes that either the SEC or the Big Ten wants them. Same with Florida State. That's why they filed these lawsuits. And so Cal, Stanford, and SMU had to join the ACC to make sure that there was a world in which those schools could not vote to shutter the conference and kill the ACC. It's all it is. It's all it is. Like, here we are. I spent a whole day yesterday doing college football play or college football previews and prognostications with my dude Peach. And I said, bro, at the end of the day, when it comes to, well, what happens with this conference and what happens with that conference, you're dramatically overthinking it, bro. Dramatically overthinking it. All you need to ask is, what's the path where the most parties make the most money? That's it. That's all that matters. That's all that matters here. That's why SMU, Cal, and Stanford are here. Not because they're going to add prestige to the ACC. They're obviously not. Stanford's going to win 3 games this year. SMU might win 7. Cal might win 6. I mean, these 3 teams are adding a total number of wins this year that will likely equal the number of wins the ACC champion scores. It was never about upping the quality of football. Here's the other fun thing. I don't think the Big Ten or the SEC, excuse me, I don't think the Publix 12 or the ACC will ever actually be able to increase the quality of football in that conference. They'll never be able to get better as a football conference, because if any school is capable of upping the quality of that conference, they're going to the big dogs. That's just how it's going to be. If Notre Dame is ever going to be obligated to join a conference, do you think they're joining the Big 12? Despite their ongoing and long-term relationship with the ACC, do you think Notre Dame is ever joining the ACC? Hell no. No. If they're ever going to join a conference, they're joining the Big 10. I mean, end of discussion. So, you know, I the only point I'm bringing up here is I had an entire show worth of conversation with PJ, and it basically boiled down to the ACC is going to be pedestrian this year. They're going to have 3 teams in playoff. I think they're going to have 2, because I'm not on board with Miami yet. Florida State and Clemson are going to battle for the ACC crown. They're going to play in the regular season. They're going to run it back in the ACC title game. One of them is going to the playoff. The other might squeak in as Team 12. And that's it. Not it. That's unless there's a one more loss than whatever team ends up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob Brown's show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio program. Real good. Corey LaJoy, thanks for checking in, man. Great to hear from you, Corey. Let's get to this. Perfect. And now let's get to this, now that we got the good stuff out of the way. Thanks, Becky. Appreciate that. We are, ladies and gentlemen, not that far from football season.
I was going to say not Marshall.
We are not Marshall. We are, as of today, it's a milestone day, great one, 50 days from college football.
50. 50 days.
Tomorrow, we are 49 days. That's 7 weeks. Actually, it's not even that because we got some weekday football during week zero. So it's actually really like 47 days tomorrow.
Unless you're an NFL guy, which I am. And then we know it's just a few more weeks away
right.
before preseason.
Which is why I specifically said college football.
I know. I get it. You believe that the majority of the audience, college football fans, non-NFL guys, and I think they're both.
I don't think that. I'm like very confident of it. Most people aren't checking out NFL preseason football. It's sad, but true.
So your entire life, have you always counted down the football? Because it seems to me like this year, more so than any other year, people are just counting down the football.
I used to do it.
It's kind of weird.
I used to do a segment called the Countdown to College Football Kickoff. Yes, I have always counted down to football because it is, it should be. The opening day of both football seasons should be a national holiday. Like, I believe that.
So when you were 12-year-old looking at the golf course, thinking about college football?
When I was 7 years old. I
don't know. What the heck is that? Where did
there's that? A song.
Is there?
It's a song, yeah. I don't know who sings it, but it's a song.
I bet
Jacob
Canadian.
Said, Rob's counting down because the Braves suck this year. That's not entirely untrue, Jacob.
And they don't suck because they still have a winning record.
No, they stink.
No, they stink. They're not. I mean, they have a winning record.
They stink. They stink.
And they probably will go further in the postseason this year than they did last year.
I wouldn't count said chickens.
I can say this as a qualified scout for MLB.
Lonzo's yes. watched 5 baseball games. That's what it takes, and we all know it.
All right. I saw highlights. That's all I need.
It's the same thing, right?
A talent. I mean, when you have talent, that's all you need.
When you got it, you got it. Lonzo's got it.
You don't have to tell the world. They can see it.
Lonzo's got it, and if you don't believe him, just ask him. He'll let you know. He'll tell you about it.
I ooze it.
So, I was, as I do at this time of year, started looking around at different projections, prognostications from different media outlets because there are some very smart football people out there. So I started looking around and I thought to myself, let's check out, let's go dig, let's go see who says what about whomst. 24/7 has put out their season projections. They put out, as a matter of fact, a list of every team that they think will win 10 games this year. Why? Because the belief right now, and I honestly think it's a fair one, the belief right now is that 10 wins is likely the mark to make the college football playoffs. You want in, you're going to have to get to 10. That's just how it's going to be. And I don't disagree with that. I think 10 is mandatory. I think that you may even see a 10-win team left out this year. PJ and I talked about this on You Better You Bet yesterday. So they went through and they predicted the number of teams that they think will get to 10 wins by conference. Here's the list. In the Big 12, they predict 2 teams to have 10 wins. The Kansas State Wildcats and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, both 10-2 on the dot. In the Atlantic
Coast. What conference was that?
That would be the Big 12.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. Good call. That would be the Albertsons 12. Do y'all have Albertsons up here? I know you haven't since I moved here.
I don't think so. I do. Is that a grocery store? Or
yes.
Is that okay. Yeah.
All the Albertsons back down where I live got replaced by Publix's. Publix? Publix's? What's the plural of Publix?
Fancy grocery store.
By the green one. They got replaced by the green one. So. The Albertsons 12, they predict 2 10-win teams. In the ACC, they predict 4 10-win teams. Amongst them, NC State, Miami, Florida State, and Clemson. They've got the 4 big ones mentioned as potential 10-win teams. I have an issue with it. I think that's spot on. I do think...
4. 4 10-win teams in the ACC.
I absolutely agree.
Really?
I do. And I'll tell you why.
So, and Clemson's in there. They're counting. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and NC State are the 4. And I'll tell you why. because I went and looked at the win totals. Let's take a look at some of them, because you know, for a team to have a bunch of losses, it means somebody else is going to have a bunch of wins. Boston College over under win total 4.5, Cal 6.5, Clemson at 9.5, Duke 5.5. Last year, Duke got Clemson. Duke got a lot of folks last year. But, of course, Mike Elko left. Riley Leonard left. This team's going to stink this year. 5.5. Florida State, 9.5. Georgia Tech, 5.5. Louisville, 8.5. Miami, 9.5. North Carolina drops down, 7.5. NC State, 8.5. Pitt, 5.5. SMU, 7.5. Stanford, 3.5. Syracuse, 7.5. They got a new head coach. I wouldn't be shocked if it's the under. Virginia, 4.5. Virginia Tech, 8.5. Wake Forest, 4.5. There's going to be four good teams in this conference. There's going to be two good teams and two okay teams, three or four mediocre teams, and everybody else is going to be bad.
What I hear is ACC is the pad your stats conference. If you're another conference, you want to play that particular conference.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I would not argue with the claim that the ACC in the last year genuinely has lost a pretty solid chunk of what it was the couple of years before that.
They were building. They were actually looking almost legitimate, and now you're saying they've went the other way.
I am absolutely saying that they went the other way. I would not push back on that belief. I absolutely think the ACC has taken a slide backwards. I'm not going to argue with that. I don't think it's a bad conference. I do think that it had a pretty good run for two or three years there where it felt like the momentum of the conference was moving forward, and now it's sliding backwards. Where do we put the blame on that? I don't know. I mean, it does have a bunch of teams that obviously are not looked at the same way that the SEC and the Big Ten schools are looked at.
Luckily, they went out and bolstered the conference by adding some powerhouses that make the conference better.
They didn't add teams because it made them better. They added teams so that there weren't enough votes to kill the conference. I said that when these teams added. This is not about adding depth to the league. It's not. The teams that they added were added for one reason and one reason alone. The teams that were added so that there were not enough votes alongside Clemson, Florida State, and Miami to kill the ACC, which is exactly what would have happened if they didn't add SMU, Stanford, and Cal. I don't know that that makes the football any worse, right? SMU, Cal, and Stanford, while everybody recruits against everybody else nationally, that is for sure. I don't think SMU, Stanford, and Cal have deep fingers in the ACC footprint that's taken recruits away from the rest of the schools within said ACC footprint. I think you are simply looking at a few different things. One of them is, and I said this yesterday on nationally syndicated radio, because of the way that college football has become a television metric-centric sport. Right? I got into the discussion with PJ, and I think it kind of blew his mind at the end of the show yesterday, because he asked me as we were ending, he goes, Rob, how much does the Florida State-Alabama playoffs thing still sting to you? And I said, honestly, not only does it still sting to me, it's never going to stop stinging to me, and it should sting to anybody who is not a member of the Big Ten or the SEC. If you are a fan of a school that plays in any conference that is not one of the two TV primary conferences, it should bother you too. Because what it said is, we don't particularly care about you or your results. We just care about making sure that we get an SEC school up in there. PJ was like, wait, well, you got to admit Alabama was better than Florida State. I said, why? Do they play each other? Do I have a definitive empirical way to prove that, PJ Glasser? And he said, well, I guess not. And I said, exactly and precisely. If only there was a way that we could find out what schools were the best. And he said, well, Michigan, Alabama was really entertaining. I said, absolutely. It absolutely was. So just admit to me right now that it was never about putting teams that earned a spot and a shot to prove they're the best. say to me right now that it's about getting the best television ratings. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that either. He said, because, you know, if I look at FSU and Alabama and I put them on the field together, I think Alabama wins that game. And I said, okay, PJ Glasser, then do me a favor. Acknowledge then that the imaginary games that you play in your head are the most important thing. Say to me right now that the thing that matters the most is your opinion, not what happens on the field. And he goes, that's a really good argument. I said, I know. That's why I made it.
Wow, so you've been doing this for 2 days.
I'm never going to stop doing
it. No, I'm just talking about that. Anyway.
Yeah, no, well, and the reason I'm saying that.
You want to scrap. You want to fight. You want to go. I don't know what's going on
with you. I don't. It's a very valid point. And again, I've not had anybody yet push back with any other argument than, well, I think Alabama was better, Rob. All right, well, again, we have a way to find that out. But the point is not to bring up the playoff argument from last season.
Or the past, right.
The point is not to bring up the past.
Let it go.
No. Let it go. Because it plays into something that is happening in the future. And this is what I've been saying for a while. The more that we as fans accept that it's about the games in our head or the television ratings primarily, which is what my guy PJ did. PJ's a big, smart boy like me. He knows ball. All right? The more that fans jump on board and accept that, the more power continues to flow to the SEC and the Big Ten, and everybody else can screw off. That's basically the attitude here, or at least it's the vibe that I get. So, yeah, precisely. Actually, that quote's close. What it should be is, screw you guys, you're going home. Screw you guys, you're not getting a chance here, right? So, with that in mind, when I talked about this and I was discussing the whole setup regarding moving forward, as long as the Big Ten and the SEC are raking in the TV money that they do, everybody else is fighting for existence. And the minute that a team within those fighting for those existence conferences get any sort of flirtation from one of the big money makers, they're gone. That is precisely what is happening right now in Charlotte, North Carolina, in this Clemson v. ACC suit. Clemson, justifiably, believes that either the SEC or the Big Ten wants them. Same with Florida State. That's why they filed these lawsuits. And so Cal, Stanford, and SMU had to join the ACC to make sure that there was a world in which those schools could not vote to shutter the conference and kill the ACC. It's all it is. It's all it is. Like, here we are. I spent a whole day yesterday doing college football college football previews and prognostications with my dude Peach. And I said, bro, at the end of the day, when it comes to, well, what happens with this conference? What happens with that conference? You're dramatically overthinking it, bro. Dramatically overthinking it. All you need to ask is, what's the path where the most parties make the most money? That's it. That's all that matters. That's all that matters here. That's why SMU, Cal, and Stanford are here. Not because they're going to add prestige to the ACC. They're obviously not. Stanford's going to win 3 games this year. SMU might win 7. Cal might win 6. I mean, these three teams are adding a total number of wins this year that will likely equal the number of wins the ACC champion scores. It was never about upping the quality of football. Here's the other fun thing. I don't think the Big Ten or the SEC, excuse me, I don't think the Publix 12 or the ACC will ever actually be able to increase the quality of football in that conference. They'll never be able to get better as a football conference, because if any school is capable of upping the quality of that conference, they're going to the big dogs. That's just how it's going to be. If Notre Dame is ever going to be obligated to join a conference, do you think they're joining the Big 12? Despite their ongoing and long-term relationship with the ACC, do you think Notre Dame is ever joining the ACC? Hell no. No. If they're ever going to join a conference, they're joining the Big 10. I mean, end of discussion. So, you know, I the only point I'm bringing up here is I had an entire show worth of conversation with PJ, and it basically boiled down to the ACC is going to be pedestrian this year. They're going to have three teams in playoff. I think they're going to have two because I'm not on board with Miami yet. Florida State and Clemson are going to battle for the ACC crown. They're going to play in the regular season. They're going to run it back in the ACC title game. One of them is going to the playoff. The other might squeak in as Team 12. And that's it. Not it. That's unless there's a one more loss than whatever team ends up in this spot, SEC team or Big Ten team, that the committee goes, yeah, we're going to go ahead and give them because SEC, though, which is what happened last year. That's why I keep ranting about it. Because somebody's going to get screwed again this year. And you take it to the bank now. We'll see. 50 days from football. I'm so excited. 5 seconds until Lonzo blows your pants off with a sports flash.
Because it just means more, Rob. The Atlanta Braves dropped a 3-game series, 2-1, with a 4-2 loss to San Francisco last night. Charlie Morton threw 5.1 innings, surrendering 5 hits and all 4 runs, including a pair of home runs in the 4th inning. Atlanta had 8 hits, but went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. The loss drops Atlanta to 47-38, which is still a winning record, Rob, and 9 games behind Philadelphia. Golden State has found its replacement for Klay Thompson and former 76ers shooting guard Buddy Hield. The Warriors sent a 2031 second-round pick in return for Hield. Hield is a 40% career three-point shooter who averaged 12 points and 3 rebounds in 26 minutes a game last year. Make sure you tune in this afternoon, 3-7 p.m., for our brand-new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.